The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And once again, welcome back to the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, as promised, you know, we had to get Richard Gage in here. So many of you have been writing and asking us, when's Richard going to be back on? What new stuff has he figured out? You know, what's 9/11 doing? I mean, we're getting so close. I mean, I have been sharing the Daily Motions Pentagon video, and people are, you know, watching Marilyn Manson, you know, screaming, you know, here's the new stuff. You know, and the FBI confiscated all the tapes. And I mean, there's so much going on here. You know, it's very difficult to even know where to start. The thing is that, you know, you are a member of the American Institute of Architects. And seriously, I mean, you've got probably more claws into this thing than most people I know, and probably have a better understanding of everything. 30 years in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you're the founder, well, actually a former CEO and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And now you're kind of running independent, but you're out there. And people appreciate you being on the show, Richard. We just thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my gosh, Dave. Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you. I'm looking forward to sharing this evidence with our viewers.
Well, I always tell people, you know, the only way is proof. And this is the thing, you know, until we show them the truth, and that's what you represent here. So many people had questions. It was amazing, though, how so many Americans blindly accepted the narratives that the media put out. And then we started to find out that all those narratives were they basically dictated to them. And so yeah. We'll start the scene. Here's 9/11. Here's allegedly these two planes, American and United, flying into the Twin Towers. We see another plane, which I have my druthers, wasn't supposed to crash in Pennsylvania. It was supposed to crash into the White House. And another one that allegedly crashed into the Pentagon, that there's no evidence of plane wreckage. You know, all these normal things. But you've been focusing mostly on the structural aspects. And this is where you and hundreds of other architects like yourself have looked at this thing and you're shaking your head. I mean, go ahead and take us back and give us a little historical perspective on this.
Well, I've been trying to bring this evidence for 18 years now, and I have been. I mean, we've been in 100 American cities and around the world several times, 24 countries. We have got the solid, irrefutable proof, evidence for the explosive demolition of all three World Trade Center skyscrapers on 9/11. Many people don't even know about the third tower that came down. And we start with that because people tend to have more of an open mind about looking at that evidence, because we weren't traumatized like we were with the Twin Towers, with 3,000 deaths and destruction of our cultural icons. So Building 7 was a 47-story skyscraper that was not hit by a plane, and yet it went down on the afternoon of 9/11, 7 hours after the towers went down. So this building, after a half a dozen witnesses that we have on record, at least, heard explosions. The building drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically into its own footprint in under 7 seconds. Now, we've seen this kind of thing before. This happens with the old hotels in Las Vegas when they bring them down with controlled demolition, explosive implosion. And it's fascinating to watch, and it looks exactly like that. The building drops suddenly through 40,000 tons of structural steel in the building designed to hold it up. And yet it drops as fast as a bowling ball falling out of the sky. So that's accelerating straight down. It's free fall acceleration. And so what does that mean? That means not one of the 80 columns in this building gave any resistance for this building's 7-second fall. So at least a third of that 7-second fall, which is about 2.5 seconds, as clocked by physicists and as admitted by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, who was tasked by Congress to explain these collapses to the American people. And they failed miserably, citing that the building came down due to normal office fires. Well, wait a minute. Normal office fires have never in history brought down a steel frame fire-protected skyscraper. No, it just doesn't happen. This is a completely unprecedented event. So it should require extraordinary evidence, and they have none. They omit all the evidence that we do have for extreme temperatures. And what do I mean by that? We're talking about temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees, the melting point of steel. And we have beams that are, according to the author of the FEMA report that came out in May of 2002, partly evaporated in extraordinarily high temperatures. It takes 4,000 degrees to evaporate steel. So what kinds of what can cause that? This is amazing. Thermite can cause that.
I was just going to say that.
Right. Thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And there's evidence of ignited and unignited thermite in all the World Trade Center dust. It's absolutely incredible. For instance, there's molten metal seen by the first responders. Turns out to be molten iron. Because analysis has been done and it doesn't have the alloys associated with steel. It's elemental iron. Well, elemental iron is one of the byproducts of thermite. It issues molten elemental iron in abundance. It also issues aluminum oxide ash, which we also see rising from these molten materials. For instance, in the South Tower, pouring out of that building just prior to its collapse or destruction is molten iron with rising iron oxide ash. We have, in the case of the Twin Towers, laterally ejected, freely flying structural steel sections weighing 4 to 8 tons, ejected out at 80 miles an hour, clocked by physicists, landing 600 feet in every direction, impaling themselves in the skyscrapers all around the World Trade Center. And they're trailed by thick white smoke clouds, which again is, first of all, why are they trailing thick white smoke clouds? Steel beams and columns are not flammable. So what's happening here? Not even with jet fuel. Jet fuel is just a hydrocarbon. It's like kerosene. It only burns, according to its manufacturer, ME Petroleum, at about 600 degrees Fahrenheit in open air. Doesn't burn any hotter than desks or chairs in the building. So, but why are these beams on fire? Well, this is a great question. The first responders describe molten steel, they call it, flowing like lava. And concrete melted, and it's in the police museum, melted concrete like lava, they said, wrapping itself around everything in its path, including a handgun that's in the police museum today, wrapped by molten concrete. I didn't know concrete could even melt. And yet it melts at 3,200 degrees Fahrenheit. about three or four times the temperature of the fires at the World Trade Center. So there's no accounting for these extreme temperatures in the World Trade Center whatsoever, except in the official narrative. But thermite can account for that, and the evidence of ignited thermite is found in the molten iron and the molten steel and the melted steel, which is done by molten iron in shaped cutter charges, patented prior to 9/11, with a design that issues thermite, which is the issuance of thermite in the form of molten iron cutting through much thicker sections of steel than even high energy explosives are capable of doing in normal controlled demolitions.
One thing, Richard, I hate to interrupt, but you got me going now, because I'm sitting here thinking to myself now, a normal demolition wouldn't use thermite, would they?
They typically don't. They have in the past. There's a record of this going back to the 1930s, 40s, even. Thermite is an old technology. It's used not only to destroy steel by the steel tanks, for instance, by the military, but to weld rail sections together, even today, but even 100 years ago.
So, I mean, you've got more than 3,500 architects and engineers in the organization demanding a new investigation into the destruction of WTC-7 and the Twin Towers. You know, but the oddities that we remember discussing, and I've had you on the show before, which is really great. I'm glad you're revisiting. But the thing is that the BBC reported the WTC-7 coming down just a little 30 minutes, I think, out, roughly 30 minutes, 25 to 30 minutes before it actually happened.
Yeah, about 20 minutes.
All right.
Jane Stanley, their reporter, is announcing the collapse of World Trade Center 7. She says it came down, the other gentleman with her says it came down due to structural weakening when the towers went down. But there it is standing right behind her. It hadn't come down yet. It won't come down for another 10 minutes or so. And they apologize for this grievous event.
Oops.
Reporting, citing confusion and at the site. Does that make them psychic, announcing the unprecedented collapse of a building? But they also find evidence of ignited thermite in all the World Trade Center dust. Who? The U.S. Geological Survey and R.J. Lea, an environmental consulting group. They actually find billions of previously molten iron microspheres. Molten iron is the byproduct of thermite. Spherical molten iron is what happens when you, under pressure like explosions, you have molten iron, a liquid forming itself into tiny droplets. And by surface tension, the aerosolized liquids just do that. And then these fall everywhere. There are up to 4 tons of these molten iron, previously molten iron microspheres in all the World Trade Center dust samples. In fact, the EPA says this is a signature component of the World Trade Center dust. In other words, it's not even World Trade Center dust unless it has these previously molten iron microspheres in them. Well, what can create that? Again, molten iron is the byproduct of thermite. There's no other rational explanation whatsoever, or any unrational explanation that I've heard given for all of this phenomena, which can only be evidence of ignited thermite. Well, is there evidence of unignited thermite? Yeah. In all the World Trade Center dust samples collected and analyzed by an international team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen, they find these curious red-gray chips. They're about a 16th of an inch long, and on average, and they don't know where these came from. They do some analysis. They thought they were paint at first, but they're attracted by a magnet because they have a high iron content. They go, wow, what is this? The red layer of these dual-layered red-gray chips is analyzed in X-ray energy dispersive spectroscopy, XEDS. What do they find? Iron oxide and aluminum powder, the ingredients of thermite. Wow. What are the ingredients of thermite doing in all of these paint chips, in all of the World Trade Center dust samples that they collected? Well, they get real curious. They zoom in 50,000 times, and they find what? Nanoparticles of iron oxide and aluminum powder, 1,000 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. This is very high-tech stuff. Iron oxide rhomboidal-shaped crystals and flat aluminum platelets embedded in a matrix of oxygen, silica, carbon. That's organic material. Organic material is what's used in TNT to expand rapidly the gases, knocking things over. So that's what they, it looks like they've taken an incendiary, which works by means of heat, and it engineered it into a more explosive event. They documented all of this in a 25-page peer-reviewed paper in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. And they documented their study of the what happens to these red-gray chips when they put them in a fancy heater, a differential scanning calorimeter. And they ignite at the same temperature that the Lawrence Livermore lab nanothermite, superthermite, ignited at 758 degrees Fahrenheit. And when it ignites, it produces an exothermic reaction. And when it does that, it produces lots of what? Molten iron microspheres with the exact same chemical signature as the molten iron microspheres found and documented by the U.S. Geological Survey and R.J. Lee. And they didn't know where these came from. They never even speculated. But it's very clear where they came from. In fact, we have chips of this material that is found partially ignited and with spheres attached to them. So it's very clear where they came from. This all is internally consistent, self-corroborating set of repeatable experimental data that brought to a court of law, which is what we're doing now, can put a lot of people away for crimes of mass murder and treason.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Richard, that it seems like, and I was around, I walked into my hotel room and saw the South Tower get hit. I turned on the TV just in time, and I'm going, oh, this is not a joke. This is not a drill. This is the real thing. It's happening right here in America.
You saw it right with your own eyes.
I sure did, and I freaked out. I'm like, wow. Oh, my God, this country's in trouble now. I wonder what they're going to do. They're going to lock us down, stop all the airline flights, all of this stuff. I knew it was going to hit us. And I'm just like, you know, there's got to be an explanation. But see, the mainstream narrative didn't come out like that. It took people like you and other architects and engineers to actually look at what was going on. And fortunately, you guys, I think, got to the debris field. I call it the crime scene, but the debris field, you got to that before they had a chance, like in Waco, where the government came in with bulldozers and bulldozed the whole bloody thing away and got rid of all the evidence so that Texas Rangers couldn't even investigate what happened there. But the beauty of it is you guys got to this material, you looked at all the areas, all the dust particles, the nanoparticles, everything else that came from around, and just the crime scene in of itself, and this is where you discovered the similarities, and what new evidence or conclusions have you reached as a result of all this?
Well, we know that incendiaries were used, and as well as high explosives, in the World Trade Center Twin Towers to bring those buildings down. We haven't talked about the explosive demolition yet, just the incendiary demolition. But the conclusion is that these towers and Building 7 were purposefully brought down with controlled demolition, that the planes were simply a false flag operation, which, based on all kinds of evidence, the FBI and the CIA particularly were involved in setting up these patsies so that they could have the excuse of the planes and the fires bringing these buildings down, which is the cover-up of the crime of the century by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, who performed false reports, 10,000 pages long in the case of the Twin Towers, obfuscating what really happened there, completely ignoring all the evidence that we've just discussed, as well as the rest of the evidence that we haven't discussed yet. And so we have clearly crimes of mass murder and treason by elements within our own government and industry.
And, how did you come to the conclusion that our own government was involved in this?
Well, who would have had access to three of the most highly secure buildings outside the Pentagon? It's kind of intuitively we can deduce it. But there's also all kinds of connections that can be made. For instance, Kevin Ryan, in his brilliant book, Another 19 Suspects, identifies a set of suspects that need to be investigated, and he starts that process. And some of them are tenants in the World Trade Center in the location of the jet plane impacts, interestingly. So we also have fireproofing upgrades, curiously going on coincidentally with the location of the jet plane impacts, fireproofing upgrades, which may have not been fireproofing at all, but perhaps thermite incendiaries applied to the underside of the floors in the area to give maximum destructive effect. Also, we have a very interesting set of circumstances with the largest elevator modernization in the world going on the 9 months prior to 9/11 with Ace Elevator, who came out of nowhere to get this contract from Otis Elevator, who had installed and maintained these elevators for the life of the building. All of a sudden, you have 85 employees all of these months with each elevator locked in turn, who fled when the planes hit the buildings, which should not have happened. These are experts in the delivery of victims from down to safety, much more so than the firefighters themselves. So they had a real need for those workers. It was quite a crime documented in USA Today. But that elevator modernization was documented. It could be a cover operation documented in Elevator World of March of 2001. So we also have the security company in charge of the security at the World Trade Center, with some very suspicious characters on it related to the Bush family. Well, they are in the Bush family. Now, a lot of that is speculation and not evidence, so I don't cover that in my documentary, the previous one being 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. It's on the website, richardgage911.org. You can watch it there for free, richardgage911.org. And we're making another documentary coming up called 9/11 Crime Scene to Courtroom. It's a film series with two dozen episodes where Mick Harrison, the litigation director for the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, and I are teamed up. I'm providing the grand jury the evidence along with the 24 experts that I have brought to the table. And Mick is giving the grand jury advice about what can be done with this evidence. What are the different types of evidence? What kinds of persons of interest could be subpoenaed for additional testimony? So that's a fascinating project. We're looking forward to unfolding the first episode in about September 11th.
I just wish that it could be an actual grand jury appearance that you guys are doing, where you walk in, you lay it all out, the grand juries.
Well, we'll have that opportunity. Yeah, this film is designed to be given as evidence to the grand jury and through the U.S. attorney in Manhattan and through federal judges who can give it to their own special grand jury investigation. So that is what makes this film series so exciting, because people can act as grand jurors while they're watching it and give us their feedback, their judgments, their conclusions. So I was very excited. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious, too, is the who, what, when, where, and why. And, of course, this is something that, you know, I kind of wait till toward the end of our segment, because I know there's some conclusions that we discussed earlier. But a lot of people have said, and I want to get your take on this, a lot of people have said that this was all basically set up so that we could point a finger at Saddam Hussein and declare war on Iraq and create a political vacuum in the Middle East. Does this whole thing seem that political to you, or does it seem like there's something more nefarious going on based on your studies and research?
Well, that's pretty nefarious in and of itself, but we also have the invasion of Afghanistan and the takeover of the opium production there, the profits of which exceed the oil companies all put together by about four times. So that's pretty amazing. And we do have sort of an admission on the part of the neocons associated with the Project for a New American Century, PNAC.org, and in which they outline their goals for regional hegemony in the Middle East, a vast increase in the military budget. And they say, though, absent a catalyzing and catastrophic event like a new Pearl Harbor, these goals will likely take a long time. So Bush writes in his diary that day, today we had our new Pearl Harbor.
Makes sense. And that, see, that, folks, that this is why we have Richard Gage on the show, folks, because there's people out there still scratching your head trying to figure out what happened. And Richard Gage and his group already know. This is one of the reasons why we have him on the show. Now, the thing is, you were talking earlier that we didn't quite get to cover was the explosive element to this whole thing. Somebody had to have some serious access to all of these buildings in order to plant those kinds of charges with the size of the buildings they were.
Yeah, access is key because we have tons and tons of nanothermite and high energy explosives that would have had to have been brought in under the noses of Securicom, Stratasec, the company that went out of business after 9/11.
Convenient.
Yeah. And we do have video evidence of it's all on the website, RichardGage911.org, in a number of excellent documentaries. The best one for starting purposes is 9/11 Explosion.
I reached out to Grown by Nature and asked if they had a zinc product that they thought could help, and they did. Not only is zinc amazing for skin healing, it has helped with his neurological behavioral. Somebody is considering taking that zinc and copper, and if, you know, they have a child who struggles with behavioral or neurological aspects, what I've found out is that zinc is critical for the natural creation of neurotransmitters. And if you don't have enough neurotransmitters, you can have neurological and therefore behavioral effects that you do not want in your child. Grown by Nature, zinc and copper formula, it helped us now figure out things that will help him for his future.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give.
Of evidence, experts speak out. In it, we document that NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, again, who Congress put in charge of this investigation, came up with the conclusion that the upper part of the building above the point of jet plane impacts drove the rest of the building down to the ground after weakening by fires and a few broken columns from the airplanes. And that's just completely ludicrous on the surface of it, because the upper part is the lightest part. It doesn't even slow down when it meets the cold, hard, intact steel below, 80,000 tons of structural steel. It gets faster and faster and faster. It's in acceleration, not deceleration. This is clocked by physics teachers like David Chandler and others. And so this is really important. It's not even slowing down, and it's a sudden onset. There's no halting when it begins in both the South and the North Tower. It's a sudden, smooth transformation into acceleration, and that's key. And what we see is the upper part doesn't drive the rest of the building down to the ground. It is destroyed itself. We watch it. We place a reference line at the point of jet plane impacts, and you can see it shortening before there's any driving down below the point of jet plane impacts.
Wow, that is so amazing.
Oh, it absolutely is. You see it and you go, okay, We've been lied to. In fact, none of the videos. After 3 seconds, 4 seconds, the top part's completely destroyed. There's no video or photo showing it driving the rest of the building down to the ground at all. And so what we see instead, what we hear before there's any collapse from 156 individual first responders all describing explosions, most of which occur before the towers even collapse. Explosions. Some of them are being blown around the building by explosions. Many of them are seeing flashes of light. Many of them are hearing and almost all of them are feeling explosions. They say like a train running under my feet. Others say like a belt going all around, all these explosions. Well, and the order, they say, and then there seemed to be a momentary delay before you could see the beginning of the collapse. It's very specific that there are explosions going on well before. And NIST, who said they interviewed 116 first responders, didn't get any of these 156 in their report at all. They completely ignore all of these witnesses of explosions, which, by the way, include 36 on-the-ground reporters reporting explosions on the day of 9/11. Out of 40, 36 of these reporters are talking about explosions, again, many of them before the towers came down. That's their job, is to witness what's going on. And they're experts at it, and their cameras pick it up too, by the way. The explosions, there's two cameras particularly trained on the South and the North Tower by Professor Graham McQueen. He researched this. These are news cameras on tripods, and they shake 6 seconds and 10 seconds before the towers came down, completely corroborating the testimony of the first responders, the 156 of them who heard explosions. So this level of testimony of explosiveness is incredible, but the videos tell it all. We have, after about 4 seconds, laterally discharged structural steel sections weighing 4 and 8 tons at 60 miles an hour out of the sides of the towers, landing 600 feet away, destroying many of the buildings around them, impaling themselves. So you have that element of explosiveness as well within the tower, underneath the zone of destruction, which we're told is a gravitational collapse, right? But the top has completely disappeared. And the lateral discharge of all this steel is going on. But below that, 20 stories below, 40 stories below, even 60 stories below, we have these isolated explosive ejections called squibs. NIST calls them puffs of air. But they're solid building objects which are blown out of these locally focalized, pinpoint accurate, violent ejections sometimes in a very geometric orientation relative to each other.
But this has something, though. This is part of controlled demolition, is it not? I mean, it looks like a controlled demolition. The whole thing does.
Well, Building 7 is a classic controlled implosion, where the whole idea is to contain the destruction inside the building and have the core fall down and pull the perimeter on top of it. Something very different is going on with the towers. It's a very explosive event, destroying buildings around it. You don't try to do that in controlled implosions. So something else entirely is going on here, which is indicative, of course, of high energy explosives, in addition to incendiaries, which the first responders again describe like flowing like lava, molten steel down the channel rails. The World Trade Center structural engineer himself, Leslie Robertson, describes a river of steel flowing. One of the eyewitnesses in our film series, 9/11 Crime Scene to Courtroom, that's coming up, declares that he was descending down looking for victims, well, survivors, and all he saw was victims, but he also saw a pool of molten lava, it looked like, as he described it. It just freaked him out. Fires only get to be about 500 degrees, maybe 1,000 degrees, normal office fires. It's actually possible to get them up to 1,500 or 1,800 degrees. But that doesn't melt steel. Steel doesn't melt until 2,800 degrees. And FEMA describes, again, the evaporation of steel. Again, 4,000 degrees to evaporate steel. FEMA did a report in May of 2002, their Building Performance Assessment Team report. And when it came out, there was an Appendix C containing this metallurgical examination of the steel in which they find hot sulfur corrosion attack on the steel with molten iron invading the grain boundaries of the steel. Again, molten iron is the byproduct of thermite. So this is thermite invading the steel documented by FEMA in their official document, which when NIST came in 2002 and took over the investigation, they threw out all of this forensic evidence and witness and evidence of extreme high temperatures, and threw out any of the evidence that was there in the form of the testimony of the first responders of explosions. So, it's a complete cover-up from beginning to end.
And I got to ask the follow-up question to that, Richard, the blowback. You guys come in, you start talking about this, you start saying, hey, a lot of this narrative and the stuff that we're talking about here, none of this makes sense. And the response you got back was, I know I might be putting you on the spot, but I'm talking about what kind of blowbacker, did they run interference on what you were trying to do? What kind of challenges did you face?
What NIST says
you're conflicting with a narrative here, Richard. I mean, they're telling us that we've been attacked and we're in on this. This is not what's going on.
Yeah, if you're talking about NIST, what they say is, well, our science is robust, and we've interviewed 116 first responders, 1,000 people all together. We've analyzed thousands of photographs and hundreds of videos, and we spent, and they did, years doing this. So it's an appeal to authority, and then there's a dismissal to conspiracy theories that don't add up scientifically, is what they're saying. They completely ignore the fact that 3,600 architects and engineers have signed a petition demanding a new investigation based on essentially the fraud of NIST themselves. So that's the kind of cover-up they do. From the media, we get something similar. We get labeled conspiracy theorists. We've gone to Congress every year or so over the last 18 years to give them our latest DVD, our latest evidence, our latest book, our latest petition, number of petitioners. And we always often get positive responses from the staffers of the elected representatives. And they're like, wide-eyed, I had no idea. You know, and no, I got to get this to the congressman. And of course, nothing happens after that. Except with Jim Hines of Connecticut, he did write NIST, and we appreciated that. And NIST wrote him back about the nanothermite and said, well, the building has aluminum cladding and it has steel, which has iron in it, so they must be confused.
So they even lie to the congressman. God, unbelievable. These people don't know when to quit. So the biggest blowback was from the media and from NIST is what, and they'd see that the media has to do the demonization by calling you guys a bunch of nutbags, when 3,500 architects and engineers can't be wrong. I mean, you're all seeing the same thing. You're all talking about the same thing. You're all agreeing together and you're bringing evidence together. I mean, all of these different groups and people have gotten in touch with you, Richard, at richardgage911.org. And I mean, this is kind of like you're the founder of the framework and everything that put this whole thing together, and you're still running with the ball. And look how many years later, and how close are we to getting justice?
That's what I wish I knew.
How close? Need that. I mean,
I thought it'd be 6 months when I started 18 years ago.
Oh my God. I mean, this is going to be frustrating for you.
I wasn't looking for another full-time job. no. This is extremely frustrating, and it is evidence of how asleep the people are, and how in control the official narrative, i.e., the media, the government, and even private associations like the American Institute of Architects and the American Society of Civil Engineers. I'm one of 90,000 members of the AIA, and they didn't even issue one bulletin on this, the worst structural failure in modern history. Well, let's call it the third worst structural failure after the Twin Towers. Not one bulletin. This should have been the most studied building failure ever. So they are able to control top levels of our respective organizations in architecture and engineering. And I guess banking finances these buildings, and so they know who they're working for. And who knows if they're bribed or blackmailed, but they might as well be. We have tried year upon year to by going to the annual meeting of the American Institute of Architects, submitting a resolution at that meeting, and we had 11% at one time of the group voting for our resolution, which was to get a new investigation into the destruction of just this one building, Building 7. But not enough. The board lied. They talked about the answers to this collapse has already been resolved years ago, and don't listen to these wolves in sheep's clothing, these conspiracy theorists. Diesel fuel brought down the building, they said, which even NIST had discredited that theory ultimately. So they're completely
in the dark. I can't believe your own AIA would do this.
Yeah, me either. I mean, we didn't know until we tried that they were corrupt.
Wow, that is amazing. That's a mind blower. We're talking, for those of you who are just tuning in, to Richard Gage. He's an AIA architect. And of course, he is the founder of the and CEO, former CEO of the Architects and Engineers for the 9/11 Truth. And folks, you got to understand that you and your wife, Gail, I mean, have just been burning the midnight oil trying to put this whole thing together to try to make stuff. I got to give her credit too, because I mean, you know, you have to have somebody that's got, you know, somebody's got to have your back. And, and she certainly did. And so the thing is,
she's amazing. She has been working full time with me for 2 years now, and I am so proud of her. I'm overwhelmed. I could not do this without her. She does everything behind the scenes.
So she organizes all this data and helps you put all this together and get it ready for presentation to the rest of your group.
Oh, yeah. She works with the data, but she works with people like you, for instance, who want to do bring the evidence to your audience and as well as should. In fact, your audience should bring this evidence to everybody they know. She can help do that because she runs our store where people can get brochures outlining all the evidence we've been talking about, 100 brochures for $10, or they can download it and print it on your own for free and get it out there.
So or you got send the you got the T-shirts too?
We do have a T-shirt. Yeah. Sorry. I
gotta get one of those. I could buy
it's Richard Gage 9/11.
All right. Yeah. I will do that. RichardGage911.org. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this has just been fascinating for those of you who were walking around asleep and didn't realize that this was politically motivated event. That's pretty much what everybody understands. But see, unless you got people that are doing the legwork like Richard Gage and his group, and you know, they call him a merry band of misfits, I disregard that completely. I know what demonization is. I'm used to this. I've seen it being a member of the media. And I'm sorry that all this has happened to you and your cohorts, Richard, because you're just trying to get the truth out. You saw this stuff. You saw it happening, and you're going, this narrative is all wrong. This isn't what happened. And so I guess curious, how did you get a leg or, a foot in the door to start the investigation in the first place? You just like waltz right onto the grounds and start collecting dust samples? I mean, how did you actually open the door to get this formal thing going?
Well, it started with my own personal awareness. On May 29th, 2007, and I was on my way back from a construction observation meeting in Lafayette, California, at a high school I had worked on, and I was listening to Bonnie Faulkner give a interview to David Ray Griffin, who's now written 14 books on the subject of 9/11, and I was just shocked to hear him talking about the ends of the beams dripping with molten steel, about this third tower that came down on 9/11. I'm going, what are you talking about? I'd know if a third tower skyscraper came down. And he was in town the next day at the Grand Lake Theater, and I was shocked when I went in there, because the place was completely packed. I couldn't even get in. They sent me home. I had to go watch on live stream, which they had back then. And I'm listening to all this evidence, and I'm going, whoa. It took me 2 months to kind of get to where I was comfortable with and just kind of knew what I had to do, because they had lawyers for 9/11 Truth, scholars for 9/11 Truth, pilots for 9/11 Truth. There were no architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Hey, these are buildings. Where are the architects and engineers? I mean, I was just shocked. So I put together a PowerPoint and I showed it to the 14 architects and engineers I worked for, architects only, actually. And some of them thought I was just nuts beforehand. But when they saw it, I bought them pizza. They had to come, and I bribed them. But sure enough, by the time they saw the graphic evidence, every hand in the room went up. We need an investigation. These are controlled demolitions. So I knew I was on my way. Again, I thought it was just 6 months or so. People would just get the idea and it would travel. But no, there's incredible resistance to this information. People who see it or hear about it, like on the radio, they'll get it. But it has to be presented usually graphically, like on our website. RichardGage911.org. It's all there. The photos, the videos, everything is there. And then they get it. And so I've done probably 700 presentations around the world. And always do a show of hands before and after. We usually get about 98 to 100% of the audience demanding a new investigation by a show of hands. So it's very, very effective, this evidence. And it can wake people up, I think, easier than the medical evidence, for instance, of what we've been dealing with over the last 2-3 years. Although I've been getting into that as well, which is one of the reasons I'm independent now with my wife, because the board members at AE 9/11 Truth wanted to continue sticking to the hardcore evidence of the towers. But when I saw that there's a whole nother false flag operation being pulled on us, I said, hey, we got to talk about that. And then Kevin Ryan developed 12 parallels between the two, 9/11 and COVID. And I started a presentation on that. It's 2 hours long. But what was amazing, I mean, he identified foreknowledge with insider trading of these events. He identified predictive programming and drills that happened before these events in order to set them up. Parallel number four, abuse of science. And five, creating a climate of fear to manipulate the people. A solution is developed, parallel number six, that's far worse than the original problem. There's false accounts by officials. There's extreme control of the narrative, no real investigation, an elusive, powerful enemy, control of information, a media censorship and attacks on critical questioning, and the implementation of draconian policies and surveillance. So that's the kind of stuff we get with false flag operations, where they engineer the problem and they have the pre-engineered solution for us.
See, it's like the perfected Hegelian dialectic all coming out in the ozone, yeah. And everybody gets to suffer with it. You know, that's the problem, because we believe, and I know you probably have come to this conclusion, that the virus was the problem that drives everybody to get the vaccination, which was the actual bioweapon.
Which is far more harmful than the original problem again.
Bingo. Bingo. Man, we really appreciate this. Folks, we've been spending the better part of an hour here on the Power Hour with Richard Gage. Yeah, I'm going to have to go buy one of the t-shirts off the website. RichardGage911.org. And but it's been a blast having you on, sir. I'm just hoping that when this new narrative and stuff comes out, that and you get the new movie and everything done, the new documentary, that you come on the show again and we get to present that. I would love to help you debut it.
Thank you. So, Dave. We'll do that.
I appreciate you, sir, and all the work you're doing. I mean, God bless you, because I mean, you've stuck with this for this many years. There's still all this doubt, and people still think that you're nuts. We don't. All our listeners just absolutely love you, and I'm glad you're on the show. Thank you so much for being here on the Power Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been wonderful. God bless all of you, and God bless the United States of America. You're going to have to get a foot in the door, just like Richard Gage did, if you want to hold on to it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow.
Harmful organisms are everywhere, affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.